Data Point podcast, where we discuss all things government and data. I'm your co-host, Sharon Paley.
And I'm Eric Reese. This week, we're talking about participatory budgets, or PB. We'll be taking a look at two different approaches to getting residents involved in budgeting, one from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and another from New Orleans.
Joining us from Cambridge are Louis DePasquale, the city manager, and Sarah Stanton, the city's budget director. We're also going to be talking to Kelsey Foster, who is campaign manager of the People's Budget. She's developed the Big Easy Budget Game for New Orleans and is bringing it to other cities.
So sit back and take a listen to how you can implement participatory budgeting in your city.
That's why people say PB. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Just starting with, like, the biggest, most general question. Louis, can you tell us what is participatory budgeting? Why is it you're doing it in Cambridge? And what's the future for participatory budgeting in your city?
So it was first brought to our attention by a city councilor who said that this was a way to really get the residents of the city of Cambridge involved in budgeting. And now, I was finance director for 14 years and budget director 20 years before that. And if there's one area where in our city we've not been able to get civic engagement, it's been on budgeting. And one of the reasons for that is we have a pretty healthy budget and we're able to do things. And we've found in the past that if you're not making reductions, people didn't come out. So we really thought this was something we could look at. We wanted to make it a capital budget request, not an operating budget request. Therefore, we would have annual increases rather than having an effect on the operating budget. But one of the things we wanted to make sure of was it was not competing against our current capital plan. So we took a look at the fact, could we come up with a number that could get people involved, come up with some new ideas, because we've come up with the ideas what we believe the residents want, and see if this would be something that would be interesting for the residents of the city. So I spoke to the city manager, and after a long discussion, we decided to give it a try. We put $500,000 on the table. We have a pretty aggressive city capital plan already. Our property tax capital plan at the time was about 1.6, so it was roughly another third. But again, this was new money, not competing against the department's budgets. And we just said, let's see how we go out there. Let's see if people are interested in, you know, it's really been a great success because it's allowed us to really get people involved in our budget process. And the budget office deserves a lot of credit for that. But I think the few things that really surprised us was, first of all, you know, we have a pretty aggressive capital budget. So we weren't even sure what they might come up with. And we quickly found out that they had some great ideas. And over the last four budgets, we've been able to do a lot of them. But clearly items that would not have been in our traditional capital budget. One of the other things we wanted to make sure of was you need department buy-in to this because they have to spend a lot of time costing out what these proposals are and working with the residents. And we didn't ever want to make a department that feel like it was their recommendation versus the residents' recommendation. So we made it clear that it was totally different. And we really wanted to get the outreach, and that's where the budget office really deserves a lot of credit. And the other thing is we wanted to figure out who could vote. And one of the things that we decided was we would have people as young as 12 years old be allowed to vote. We really wanted this to be a real community experience, and that was also helpful, but the outreach was so important. So it started the first year at $500,000. It went to $600,000. It went to $700,000. And in our last year, this current year, it went to $800,000. But in order to get the number of projects that we wanted in terms of breaking out the number, we have a $867,000 budget. So it's been a real success. The council loves it. The residents love it. I will say this. One of my concerns was that, you know, in the first year, we had 13 projects that people were voting on, and we had a $500,000 budget, and the 13 projects came up to probably $2 million. And I had real concerns how the people were going to react who didn't get their projects voted, because there was so much work and attention put to trying to get these projects supported. And We had the event. We read off the six winners. And I can tell you, I was looking at the expressions of the people who were supporting the projects that didn't win, and I misread it. Nobody was there for their own project alone. They were just as happy to see the projects were a success, and it worked. And I think, you know, one of the things we were asked from day one was, when is the city manager or the finance director going to take this process over and really make it a city process? And we told them, never. That's not been our goal. That's not what this is. And I think we've kept to that promise. The residents understand that we've kept to that promise. This really is their budget, their capital, what the people want. People vote, and whoever gets the most votes, that's where we're going. And I think that's really the key. It's really it's letting the residents decide how we're spending money. And again, I think one of the keys is, fortunately for us, we're a city that has money that can do this. I think it would probably be a lot harder if you didn't have the money and you were putting it up against your own capital budget. So hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, that's really helpful context. And I'm curious, Sarah, maybe you can talk through a little bit of, you know, Luz gave a great background on why and, you know, the general outline for the project, but how does this actually work in practice? You know, what are the nuts and bolts for making this participatory process a reality in Cambridge?
Sure. So I would probably say that you need to steal my staff. They're integral in having this be successful. So if you have really great, committed staff, they're going to get volunteers to be committed, which is really important. So we start with planning and recruitment of outreach committee as the first step in our cycle, usually in May of the previous fiscal year. And this is where the budget team really shines. They're out in the community. They're at community meetings. They're at ball fields. They're at soccer games. They're at the mall, drumming up interest. Do you want to be part? How do you want to spend $800,000? And through that, we gather community members together, and truly of all age ranges, which I think is the amazing testament and background. And the community members brainstorm and submit ideas. So that process usually takes about 2 months of just gathering, submitting ideas. And I mean, the ideas are truly wild. Some of them are just so amazing and interesting and different. And as those ideas are gathered, we drum up volunteers to be budget delegates. And they turn those ideas into concrete project proposals. So it's sort of taking the big pie in the sky, the pages and pages of sheet paper with ideas, and drilling them into proposals that are a little bit more fine-tuned. And during that process, city staff are coming in and talking with those groups. Is this feasible? Do you have a water hookup and able to do a public toilet in Central Square? Really sort of fleshing out those ideas, no pun intended, with the public toilet. But I think it's fascinating because the department heads, I think, enjoy working with the outreach committee as much as the outreach committee enjoys hearing from the department head. The department heads and the staff are integral in saying to the committee members, yep, this is a great idea, but have you thought about maybe doing it this way? Or have you thought about if we added this, you know, component of water and sewer or of infrastructure, it might make it go a little bit smoother. So that process works out together. Once it's been sort of hashed out and fleshed, the city manager and the budget director and the finance director and the deputy city manager, we all sit together and say, okay, let's look at this project list. First, let's make sure that we're not already funding anything. You know, we'd hate to have a PB project that we know is going to be part of our capital budget cycle take away from PB funds. So that's a big discussion. And the second part is, you know, really hashing out, does it meet public safety, right? Is this a safe idea? Is this allowable under our charter and ordinance? And from there, we take the list, and that's the list, usually about 20 projects, which the residents vote on. The voting period is wild. It's a whole week of running around. We set up tables. We recruit. This year, we had almost 7,000 people across the city vote, which I think is a real testament to how encouraged people are on the process. You can vote online. You can vote paper ballot. We have several languages, which I think residents really enjoy, that they're able to vote in their language. Voting is 12 years of age and up. I have often illegally let several 9 and 10-year-olds who are enthusiastic.
They look like they were 12. We let them go.
Yeah, I'm sure they were 12.
Yeah, we checked their ID. They were definitely 12. But I think it's really interesting because you have kids who come with their list of projects, and it's not like their projects are just related to the schools. It's kids saying, oh, I really like those flashing crosswalk signals. Those are pretty cool. Or I really think that jade moss wall that's going to combat pollution is amazing. And we found that even at the youth centers, groups of kids were rallying together to vote for projects, really both showing an interest in democracy, which is so cool, but also showing an interest in the community budgeting process. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, they are excited for each other. They're interested in what each other are putting forward. They're happy if one youth center gets money, and they hope that the youth center does next year. The other part, I think, that really speaks to the diversity of our of both Cambridge but of the process is that the community learning centers, which has a great deal of new immigrants in the community, they make it one of their class assignments. So they come over, and they can either vote in their native language or they can vote in English. And it's incredible. Classes full of people coming over saying, I did my research, and I really feel like critical resource kits for the homeless are the way to go. And once that voting process is done, we have a big reveal party, which, as Louie mentioned earlier, is really, it's just as feel good as you could possibly get. Everyone's so excited. The projects are announced. This year, the city manager was kind enough to fund over our $800,000 limit. And then from there, projects are implemented following the close of fiscal year.
I just want to jump in, and I really, this has been a great success, but you cannot take away the major reason it's a great success is the work the budget office has done to make it a great success. This takes a lot of work to do it right, and the commitment to get out in the neighborhoods and get everybody involved. At the time when I was finance director, I had no idea that the level of effort that we were going to be able to put into this. It's something we're very proud of, but I don't want anyone not recognizing the fact this is a lot of work. Well worth it. Couldn't be happier we did it. But the reason it's as successful as it is because of the work of the budget team. I mean, it's been incredible. But it's also, on another note, I always like to say we sold mini bonds to our residents for the first time a year ago. And I can tell you, I really believe looking at who bought the mini bonds, the people who got involved in PB, who are excited about what the city's doing, were deeply involved in our purchase of mini bonds. So it's also built out a real community spirit of saying, how can we help the city do things and how can we be more involved? So on that point, it's just another angle that I think PB has really helped us be successful.
It's a labor of local government love from the budget office to the residents of Cambridge, that's for sure.
So bringing it back to the fun element for a moment, Kelsey, can you tell us a bit about the budget game you've developed, how that works, and how that's been a part of the participatory budgeting process in Cambridge?
Sure. So I guess the story of the budget game starts in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. We had a lot of money coming into town from FEMA and federal sources, private foundations, and to a lot of New Orleanians, when they didn't see their street get repaired or their street light was still out, it didn't feel like there was a lot of money coming in. And so we saw a real need in the community to bridge this divide between the city budget and residents. And that can be really hard in New Orleans. We have a real lack of financial literacy here. About 13% of our residents are completely unbanked. A much larger number are underbanked. And so talking about really complex financial concepts like a billion-dollar budget or an 800-page budget book is really tough. So we wanted to be able to, one, kind of educate people about how the budget works, where the money comes from, and where it goes in a way that isn't wonky, and two, to give them, for the first time ever, a voice in their budget. Here in New Orleans, we don't have participatory budgeting, so we saw the Big Easy Budget Game as kind of a first step towards getting people excited about the city budget and engaged and educated about how it works. So basically, the Big Easy Budget Game lets you play mayor of your city for a day. We call it the people's budget in cities that are not the Big Easy. And we ask you basically to go in, look at all the different departments, all the many, many pressing needs of a city, and to try to judge based on the data we give you and your own personal preferences how you would balance that budget. What happens if you give a department more money? What happens if you give it less? We take all that data, all that crowdsourced information from hundreds and hundreds of people across the city, and we compile it together so that we can take a look at how people spend money. And how is that different, and how is it the same as how our mayor and our city council spend money? And in that way, we can kind of identify some needs in the community, and we can help create a better city budget and one that gets the money into the community where it's needed the most.
That's really interesting, Kelsey. And I think from my perspective, the point of view that you're taking around letting folks really dig into the whole budget, in their own way, is a little bit different from the Cambridge model, where they're using capital projects as a really tangible entry point for residents. And can you talk a little bit about how that's different, in your perspective, using the Big Easy Budget game versus, really digging into a capital budget?
Absolutely. And we think that the People's Budget is a fantastic complement to a traditional PB process. In a PB process, you're given a portion of money that you can do something really, really tangible with. You can see that money in action. And with the People's Budget, you are actually able to take a look at, maybe not quite in such a realistic way, but you can look at the whole budget and really get a feel for how it all works, the big picture, and give your voice on every department and every part of your city, because there's no document in City Hall that matters more to the quality of life of residents than the city budget. And it might be one that is understood the least. City budgets have our public transportation schedules and the floodlights at our basketball courts and the books in our libraries. And so it's incredibly important for people to see it and to be involved and engaged in it. And so we hope and we think that the People's Budget is a great way to get people kind of looking at the big picture, involved in the whole budget, and then really ready to tackle those shovel-ready projects through participatory budgeting.
So I think my main question for all of you is, given the kind of two different approaches that we've seen outlined from Louis and Sarah about, really digging in and meeting the people where they are in terms of picking projects and voting, and Kelsey talking a little bit about the, simulation and game scenario using the tools they've developed in New Orleans, can you talk a little bit, maybe Kelsey first, just how those two things interact with each other, and if at all, or which place where cities, if they're looking to do this, where should they start?
Sure. So we started the People's Budget here in New Orleans to fit a very specific post-disaster need, and we realized as we developed it that we stumbled upon a tool that is actually useful everywhere. There is no city that can't benefit from having a better idea of what its people need and having them more engaged in their city budget. So if this is something that cities are interested in, they can contact us at peoplesbudget.com, and we can help start moving in that direction, especially cities that are already geared up for something like a traditional participatory budgeting process where you've got people excited and ready to move on their city budget. We think this is a fabulous tool, and we're beyond proud of it.
Great. Sarah, same question. Somebody was looking to start and kind of replicate what you all have done in Cambridge. Where is the best place to start?
The best place to start with PB?
Yeah.
Is that the question? So I think you have to have a will of the people involved. So there has to be buy-in from the very top to all the way down. And I think it's been most successful in Cambridge because it was a collaboration between a member of the city council, city administration, and then real buy-in from the city budget department to say, this is a great idea. This is a really interesting way to engage the community, especially members of the community that might not traditionally be involved. They're not, unlike us fellow government nerds, they're not coming to all the budget hearings and sitting on the edge of their seats. So this is a really interesting way to involve them in that process. And I think having that early buy-in and that commitment from both, especially the city manager and finance director, to say, we are going to stay out of this. We're going to really let it be a true community process. We're going to continue to fund it. We're going to hold to our word, really is a testament to its success. And the community has recognized that. They understand that this is really their voices being heard. And they also understand that department heads are there to help, not to hinder the process. And that citywide and community buy-in is reflected in our overall budget process, but it's really reflected in PB.
I would also add that it's incredibly important, and this sounds pretty basic, but you better get the projects done after the vote. So we've had in fiscal 16, 17, and 18 about 21 projects. and the residents are looking for those projects. So we've made it clear that whatever is on this is something that we've got a game plan in place to get it up as quickly as possible.
Those are excellent tips. I think that last one is really good, actually. Well, this has been really helpful. Thank you to all three of you for joining us today. It's been great.
Thanks again to Lewis, Sarah, and Kelsey for joining us today. If you want to learn more about participatory budgeting, check out the show notes and other GovX resources on our website at govx.jhu.edu and learn more about the work we're doing by following us on Twitter and Instagram at gov_ex.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes or in Google Play. Your support of the podcast means a lot. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to you all joining us next time when we find out where the data points.